We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany. And we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
Just the sound of it creates an image in your mind, doesn't it? It may be that image is, I don't know, a little too sweet, a new, little too softly lit. The real Christmas, if we were to have witnessed it, might have shocked us. Who knows? The real birth of Christ might have shocked us. Joining us to talk about the birth of Christ as we continue our ongoing conversations with her, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, on this Monday afternoon, December the 13th. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back and to talk about such a wonderful biblical text at the center of it all, really.
Church yesterday, after church, there was... In the back rows, you know, we still are kind of in the 18th century reserved back rows for families with small children. And there was a really small child, one of the newest members of the congregation, still yet to be baptized. And this little girl, for the first time I'd seen, was crying right after church. Mm. And, like, only a newborn can sound. It's unmistakable sound. And the parents trying to comfort her and all of that. We often picture this kind of serene, almost magically serene baby Jesus lying in the softest hay imaginable, swaddled in beautiful fleece, like we would swaddle our babies today. Should we, perhaps, while we're getting Christ back into Christmas, should we perhaps get that overly cute baby Jesus out of it?
That's a great question. You know, we sing that... little carol, no crying he makes. What do you mean? If he was really fully human, as the scriptures tell us, and he's a newborn, and he's laying in a hay trough with scratchy hay and probably animal drool and all of that, of course he's going to cry from hunger, from needing his... diaper changed, and all of those things that come with being fully human and an infant, newly born. And that's, you know, that's not the image, you're right, that we get. We get the beautiful scene with the glowing halo around the baby in the manger, and it we don't even think anymore about that, what that must have really been like. Very humble surrounding, a very ordinary birth, more ordinary than probably other children born in that same era, because here he is in not even in a home, in a real bed, but in an animal house, in a trough, in a manger. And that is quite a different image, and it's one to really take to heart, I think, because this baby isn't this cute little cuddly thing. He didn't come to be this cute little kind of teddy bear Jesus. He came as the Son of God, taking on human flesh, and this is really the beginning of his journey, a journey that would lead to the cross, where he would suffer and die a most gruesome, horrifying death, all for us, for our sin, that we might not have to die in that way, that we can be forever in heaven with him. And if we don't connect all of that to this, then I guess that's all we have is a little cute little baby on a starry night with no crying and cattle lowing, you know, very, very beautiful Christmas card picture. But I think it is good to look beyond that and to look at what really must have happened and what it must have been like.
Before Luke leads us to those close quarters of the manger, he first draws this gigantic panorama in history, setting it, as any historian would, in the broader perspective of the whole Roman world and what's going on in the entire empire, all the way up to the emperor's decree. Why does he do this?
Oh, this is really fabulous that Luke does it, and he does it with intent. And the thing to know is that he's mentioning these little details of ordinary human history because he's anchoring God's cosmic salvation in real human life, in the real human world, so that we can now, 2,000-plus years later, connect the birth of Jesus to real events and real people that we know from history, outside of God's Word, outside of having faith, recorded history. Caesar Augustus, the second emperor of the Roman Empire. We know this from other sources beyond Scripture. The detail of Quirinius governing Syria and the first census helps to further narrow down the time in history when Christ was born, placing it about between the years 5 and 4 B.C. The whole detail of the registration is designed to take a census of those living in the empire. All of this works together because all had to go to be registered, each to his own town. And so God uses this ordinary human event to take Joseph and Mary to their ancestral town of Bethlehem. And in this way, the prophet Micah, his prophecy is fulfilled in where he said that this baby would be born out of Bethlehem. And it also is interesting that the detail of traveling to Bethlehem leads Luke to interject the theology of David's lineage and the age-old covenant promise that the Savior would rule over the house of David forever. Bethlehem is from where David came. So all of these little details are very important for grounding the story in real time, in real space, real history, and connecting it back to the prophets who made these prophecies so that all then could know who this child was and so that we know. This isn't just some made-up, make-believe fairy tale. It's for real. God's Son took on human flesh, was born of a woman, and came to live among us, suffer, die, and rise again for our sakes.
We're talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Monday afternoon, December the 13th, when we come back. If you read the first part of Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, it is doing just exactly what Pam has described there, but it's also very matter-of-fact. When we get to the angels, there's nothing matter-of-fact about the announcement at all. We'll talk about that after this break.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of issues, etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, issues, etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pam, if you read Luke's account there, he is painting this broad canvas of history and then locating the birth of Christ right there firmly within real life, real history. There's no fairy tale going on here. Although, if you read just past the facts, ma'am, as he does there, suddenly it sounds like a fairy tale. He has angels falling down out of heaven. Pick up there.
Well, that's exactly right. Amazing. What's going on? You have all this very kind of ordinary stuff. And then verse 8, and in that same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch by their flock by night. And then you have the angel, and then the multitude of angels in these proclamations here, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. This is really an amazing part of this, and this section is, as you're saying, about the angels, not about the shepherds. And it's really the focus on Jesus and the angel with his message about Jesus. First, that angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. And the shepherds, telling the shepherds, they're not to fear this vision of the angel. It must have been frightful to see something like that, but he calms them with the good news of comfort and joy, the news that God's Son has become incarnate for the salvation of the whole world. And then secondly, the angel gives the reason for this joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here's God's rescue from sin and death in his incarnate Son. It's a present reality. What they'd heard about, what they'd grown up learning about, is now a reality, not only for them on that day in history, but also for us, even these many centuries later. To quote St. Paul in 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's what's going on here, and that's what the angels are proclaiming. And then thirdly, the angels give a sign to the shepherds so they will know that this great news is true for them. And they say, this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, this is a really ordinary-looking sign, right? A baby in a manger just wrapped up like any other baby, rather lowly. But it sends the message that the Most High Lord of Heaven had descended to earth in utter lowliness and humility. And this would be the beginning of that kind of mysterious way that Christ comes, not as we would expect. The Son of God comes in this lowly, humble way, not how anybody would expect, not even those prophets who foretold it. But despite this lowly humility, this little infant truly is God's anointed Savior. And that's the message of this story.
And it's not like the angel says, oh, by the way, this has happened really far away.
No.
Just take my word for it.
Tells them where to go.
He says, go look for it. Go find
That's
it.
Right.
Go, and there's the baby right there.
Absolutely. Go see him. Go see where he's laid. And, you know, we've talked a couple times here about these the swaddling clothes, and I think a really neat thing to bring out, especially to the older children as we teach this story that they think they know so well, is to pick it apart and talk about these little details like the swaddling clothes, help them fast forward to that empty tomb on Easter, or a little bit before that to Jesus being wrapped in the clothes of death, placed in the tomb, and then on Easter morning where he's left those same clothing folded neatly in the empty tomb after his resurrection. He enters this world wrapped up, and he bursts out from the tomb and from that as the glorious resurrected Lord. They're sort of bookends to this story. This all goes together.
There's also a comparison that you think is a good one to make between the song that the shepherds are singing,
yes,
and then the song that is sung as Jesus comes to the culmination of all these promises made of him and fulfilled by him.
That's right. We've got two songs in the book of Luke. We have a lot of wonderful songs in the book of Luke, but really what are the true bookends to this whole story on the life and ministry of Jesus, these real events that happen, teaching us the purpose of his incarnation, and that purpose being to go to the cross. First, you have this hymn of praise in Luke 2, sung by the angels, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Fast forward to Palm Sunday, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey in Luke 19. And then it's almost the exact same words, but reversed. The people shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Almost the same thing, but just reversed. And it is still the same Jesus who came lowly in the manger, who enters Jerusalem on a simple, lowly, humble donkey, to all of this fanfare and praise that people put upon him and then quickly take away from him when they lead him to the cross and crucify him for their sins, for your sins and mine.
We should point out that kids who hear these songs in the Christmas narrative, if they are raised in a congregation that continues to practice an historic form of Christian worship, will already know these songs by heart.
That's exactly right. They're going to know these songs. They're going to know them as part of the liturgy that they sing every week. And it will be familiar to them. We hear the story of God's saving message, and even though the scripture readings change from Sunday to Sunday, they give us the same message of Christ incarnate, crucified, and risen. And then we sing as part of the liturgy, the Magnificat, the Benedictus we talked about, the angel song, "Glory to God in the highest." So it is the church through the centuries. These have been part of the liturgy for many, many, many years. And it is the church's way of recounting, recalling, and joining in these songs with those who've gone before us, those who are in glory now, and with those who are yet to come. It's the church's song, and God gives it to us in his word.
Pam, I'm all in favor of these things being fresh, these things being represented in ways that... So it doesn't become hackneyed and merely kind of the background, the wallpaper of the otherwise busy holiday season, which it can be. But say something, if you would, especially for these kids, about the value of these things being familiar, these stories being told again in exactly the words that Luke tells them, without trying to spice it up or shake it up. Talk about that value for these kids, especially at their particular place in life.
Well, you know, in a world where change is the god, new, different are the princes, it's hard for kids to understand why we would want to read the same text over and over again, to learn it over and over again, just as it is given to us. But in reality, that's exactly what they need. It's what we need, because these words stand the test of time. They are living, active words of God, and they are at the center of who we are, whose we are, and why we are his. The Son of God, Christ the Lord, the Savior, born for us to come to take our sin upon himself. And in a world where everything changes, these words don't change. And what Christ came to do, does not change, has not changed. He's done it for you. And that is sweet comfort in an era especially that idolizes change and new and different messages and different words. There is comfort and joy in hearing the message of Luke 2 as we've heard it year after year. God does not change. His promise is sure, and it is for me today as it was for those shepherds so long ago.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pam, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
And to you as well. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. live this Monday, December the 13th. We're going to start out remembering someone that very few people probably remember, but the time in which she lived was truly a time of, I guess we could say, terror for many Christians in the 4th century. Martyr Saint Lucia, she suffers under some of the worst persecution that there has ever been known by the Christian saints. Pastor Heath Curtis of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, will be our guest to talk about Saint Lucia. Then we'll get a review of the movie The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Dr. Gene Edward Veith of Patrick Henry College will be our guest. He knows all about this kind of literature, and we'll apply some of his critical skills to the literature, the Chronicles of Narnia books, as they've been set on film, at least up to The Voyage of the Dawn Treader in the second hour of the program. There is great value in sticking to the story as it has been told. We cannot improve on it, that's for sure. We cannot add to it. We deliver these things to our children so that this Word of God may take deep root in their hearts and minds, and that this narrative of a Savior born unto us, our Savior, the Savior who is Christ the Lord, might constantly reside there by His Word. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.